Episode 263, September 26th, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Everybody, let's get right to it. Let's play everyone's favorite game. Guess what Gramps said. I post a picture of David Koechner hugging my girlfriend, beautiful girlfriend Tawanda. I post the picture. I said, that time David Koechner stole my girl. What comment did Gramps make?
It's going to be particularly lewd, but it's going to definitely mention that he's not threatened or taking my sloppy seconds, but I don't think he knows what sloppy seconds means.
Sloppy seconds would imply he's done with Tawanda. We don't think that's the case.
Charity hug. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Graham says your girl was already stolen by me.
Okay. Let's see.
That's three likes, by the way. And then another picture I post with the three of us, Koechner, myself, and Tawanda hugging. And, of course, Tim says Rob's final Tawanda hug. And then Gramps chimes in before she's with me forever. So I post two pics of Tawanda today. There's two Gramps comments. He's the best, folks.
He is. You know, can we just get straight to the Gramps story? Because I think it's kind of apropos based on what you just said.
Shoot, go for it.
So we told the story last week when Gramps told some woman that he was attempting to sell insurance to or sold insurance to that he thought she was good looking. And then he got a picture of her boobs and then also bent over and her vaginal lips spread, if I read that correctly.
His words.
Now, he was going to send me a picture of her boobs. I think he saved one picture for proof or for masturbatory purposes, whatever. And he was afraid to send. What's that?
But he still got it. He's got to have proof that he still got it.
He said he was about to send, but then he was afraid it was going to go to everybody because it said multimedia. So he thought it was going to go to multiple people. So he didn't send it out in typical Gramps fashion. But that's not the Gramps story. Okay. Here's the new one.
So but you haven't seen the picture. Is that what you're saying?
I guess I'll have to see it firsthand when I'm, you know, when he pulls out his phone and shows it to me.
Yeah, drive to him.
Here we go. I pulled into this court to see a customer and a girl standing on the corner waved me down. I rolled down the window. By the way, if I'm in the city and anybody waves me down, I'm not going over.
Of course not.
I rolled down the window and she asked if I could give her a ride. I said I was going to see a client. She said, I know, she's my mother. I asked where she was going and she said, Lexington Market. I said, okay, I'll pick you up when I leave your mom's. Came back out. She was waiting and hopped in my car. I was heading for Lexington Market, which was just a few blocks away. As we drove, she said, do you like black girls? He said, Or I said, I'm telling it in the first person from him. I said, I like pretty girls. Race isn't an issue, but I have to admit that black girls have some superior qualities. She said, like what? I said, well, generally they have pretty eyes and they have the prettiest shaped butts in the world. Okay, good job, Gramps. She said, I have a nice pussy too.
Wow.
I said, I'll bet that's the truth. And I pulled up to the market. She looked at me for a minute, clearly waiting for a better response, then climbed out. Here's what Gramps doesn't understand. He's picking, he's hitting on prostitutes. Okay.
Yes.
That's
the only guy
doing.
That picks her up is a guy that's looking for a prostitute.
Yes.
She knows
you're
the
not
game.
Gonna, you're not going to give her a ride to Lexington Market unless, let me put it a different way. Every other time she's ever gotten a ride to the Lexington Market, they went around the back of Lexington Market, and for a pack of smokes, she blew the guy.
Yes.
So that's why she's confused. It's not Gramps is telling the story. He's the one who doesn't get it. Not her. She understands exactly what's up.
They must just see Gramps, and they think he's down.
Well, I think that he looks like he's got money because he's an old white guy.
He's not driving a flashy car, though.
No, but he's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And I think that's why somebody in chat's name is Ugly Vag Lip Picks Now.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Joe, you cheated on me and I cheated on you as well yesterday. I did the murder mystery without you and you did the post game show without me.
Yeah, I did it with football expert Mickey Coachella.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you are, from a fan's point of view, an expert in football, very knowledgeable one, then 1, you are Scott Apple. Where's Mickey?
Oh, in terms of his football knowledge?
Yes.
It's only just a little bit above Scott Apple. I mean, he just doesn't know anything about football. Now, he knows, if Scott Apple is a 1, by the way, today Scott Apple told me, and I already told Rob this, he had never heard of the movie The Deer Hunter. Okay, that's... But he'd also never heard of Bradley Cooper. He'd never heard of Bradley Cooper. I go, well, you know, he's nominated for 3 years in a row for best actor in a movie. You know, he's nominated for an Oscar. He goes, what movie? I go, Silver Linings Playbook. He goes, never heard of it.
All right.
I go, American Sniper. He goes, yeah, I think I've heard of that. Okay. And then I said, I believe it was American Hustle, but I couldn't swear. I've never heard of that either.
He is a top 10 movie star today, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Top 10. Yes, he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job, Scott Apple.
I wonder, I mean, if you think of it, if you name the top 10, I mean, he's heard of Brad Pitt. He's heard of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Tom Cruise, obviously.
Will Smith. Is he a top 10? Denzel Washington.
They're definitely top 10 in name recognition.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking actresses, too. You got to have, he's heard of Meryl Streep, right?
I guess we should ask.
Gosh. I mean, Bradley anyway. Cooper, it's not, I can, that doesn't shock. Now, Tom Cruise, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah, even no, I mean, he's heard of Tom Cruise. But anyway, what I was saying is Mickey... I mean, he knows a lot enough to be dangerous. He knows who Joe Flacco is. He knows who Terrell Suggs is. He knows who Justin Tucker is. You know, he knows the A-list celebrities on the Ravens.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of knowing the game, he doesn't. And by the way, he clearly didn't watch the game.
What was he doing?
So I said to him, I go, well, look, I'm going to watch the first half of the game at my house. Then I'm going to drive to the studio and I'm going to watch the second half of the game in my house. I mean, in studio. He goes, okay, well, I'll get there, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, he walked in, you know, during the network, the end, you know, the 30 minutes leading up to the show and at the end of the game and then the beginning of our show, the network feed. And he clearly had not watched any of the game. And then he goes, hey, he goes to the girl running the board. Now, you know, the girl running the board, her name is Rebecca.
Yes.
And now she's been working there for like a day and she doesn't know how to do anything yet. You know, I mean, of course it's frustrating because they have literally the lowest rung. People don't know how to take a phone call, field a phone call. They don't know how to do anything, but whatever.
That's
although
she
successfully got you on the air, which was better than Casey did last year. So
that's true.
But he says to her, he goes, hey, do you know how to buzz somebody in? Come again?
Well, to let everybody know, there's a gate that you have to get in that's closed normally, and you have to get buzzed in to get to the gate and onto the property.
Yes, you can't just run in. So Mickey's, next thing you know, his girlfriend and his daughter are in the, they're in the studio.
How old is his daughter?
You know, it's the one who had the YouTube clip, you know,
want to
kick the monster's ass. I think she's probably like, 12 or 13 now, right?
Okay.
Maybe 12. But, you know, I mean, Mickey is 98 Rock royalty. I didn't want to tell him, hey, dude, you know, I can't have these people running around the halls. I'm responsible, right? But then I remembered, he's an employee of the station. He's going to be accountable, not me.
Of course not. Yeah, that's on him.
So I was fine at that point. Once I knew that he was going to be the one on the hook, then I was like, okay, well, that's what you choose to do. Then that's.
Did they get on the air, the daughter and the girl?
No, I think if they did, somebody would have said, why are they in there? So they didn't get on the air, right? So anyway, but I didn't care that they were there unless I was going to get in trouble. Now, if it was you, I would have gotten in trouble because you're not paid by the station. You know what I mean? You're not an employee of the station.
Right. Yeah.
And well, Mickey is.
Definitely not 98 Rock royalty.
Right. Mickey is.
Of course.
So he's his own man. If he lets people in, he's on the hook for that.
So we do the murder mystery down in Richmond.
Well, hold on. Can I tell one more Mickey story before we move from Mickey?
Yes.
So it's the end now. Now, Mickey said he was going to do the show. And I said, well, we'll go get dinner afterwards. He said, okay. But see, he has a new girlfriend. So he didn't want to go to dinner because he wanted to spend time. Well, you know how it is when you're early in a relationship. So that was actually good because I always feel obligated when somebody comes in to buy him dinner. It's the least that I can do since they are coming in to work for free. So I ended up getting hooked up there. But anyway, as we're leaving, I go into the bathroom and I notice they have Purell. And I go, hey, you know, I heard they're getting rid of antibacterial soap because your body isn't building up immunity, blah, blah, you know, the whole story.
No, I don't.
Well, they're getting rid of has Marcus or Robbie, have any of you guys heard this?
I didn't know they were going to phase it out.
Well, maybe I'm exaggerating it, but I know that I had heard they're getting rid of antibacterial soap because your body needs to build up its own immunity towards some of these dangerous bacterias.
Okay.
And the soap is preventing that from happening and people are getting sicker. But I don't know how, I don't know exactly to what degree this is happening. Doesn't matter. I saw the Purell in the bathroom and I told Mickey that story. Mickey goes, I've been saying that for years. I don't use now. I want you to guess the product that Mickey Coachella told me he does not use. He doesn't use it.
Deodorant.
What is it? No, he uses deodorant.
He doesn't use shampoo.
No, he uses shampoo.
He uses
toilet paper.
He doesn't use like a body wash or soap?
I actually think it's worse than what you guys are saying, what he says he doesn't use. But can keep guessing. Although toilet paper would be pretty bad, right?
Toothpaste?
Toothpaste. He doesn't use toothpaste.
What? Well, what does he do?
He takes Scope and he rinses his mouth out and then he takes his toothbrush and brushes his teeth with the Scope. And I'm like, you know, that's chemicals too, right? I mean, I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's just a less thorough cleanse.
I think he believes that plaque, the buildup of a plaque is good to protect your teeth. You know, by the way, you know how many cavities he's had?
I don't know, 4.
72. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's had 0 cavities.
He has good looking teeth. They're white.
But my thing is that has he always used Scope? Before he was just lazy if he was a kid not using toothpaste. By the way, what kid has Scope?
Scope is expensive. That's an expensive way to brush your teeth versus
is Scope
toothpaste.
More expensive than toothpaste?
You're going to go through Scope a lot quicker than a tube of toothpaste, I would think, right?
I don't know how much Scope you use to brush your teeth with. I don't know.
Well, like Listerine, a big bottle is like $12.
You know, Gramps is a big proponent of Listerine. He believes that's a cure-all.
Well, you should do both.
Yeah, you should
brush
also
your teeth and have mouthwash.
You should do all of
floss.
It. Yes.
Yes.
I bought Listerine today. It was the big giant bottle's $2.93.
Did you buy, was it the yellow kind like Dad buys?
Yeah.
It is crazy. Gramps wants his breath to smell like Listerine, which really is almost as offensive as bad breath, right?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, when did he phase it out?
Isn't mint good?
I always have mint. I love mint. love anything minty.
Robbie, why do you go with the medicine?
That stuff feels like it's more effective. It doesn't have flavorings in it.
Don't they have mint flavored Listerine?
Yeah, but then it has less of the real active ingredient. It's like that spray when you take a shit in the bathroom and people spray. You're just covering the shit smell with antibacterial stuff. You're actually killing the germs.
Well, there is mint flavored Listerine.
So you use an unflavored Listerine, Robbie?
Yeah, man.
I think it's Listerine flavored. I believe is what that is, right?
It is original Graham flavor.
Graham says it's not for breath but for medicine. Well, what's it curing, Gramps? I need to know that. You can type that in chat.
It's killing germs.
Well, isn't that germs that are that's making your breath bad?
Correct.
Or does he use it to stay healthy? Is it sort of a flu shot?
Dad also thinks that has medicinal properties. It helps you stay healthy as well, which I agree with.
Okay, but the toothpaste.
Clearly, you're buying it by the gallon.
The toothpaste on the toothbrush is supposed to be a more effective way of cleaning your teeth than just a toothbrush on your teeth. It's like you wash the bathroom, you have a rag and some sort of cleaning liquid. You don't just use a rag.
No, the purpose of the toothpaste is to scrub the teeth with, to get them white and to get them and get all the stuff out. The brush actually is working to get the stuff out, but the toothpaste acts like a cleanser. You know, it's directly on the teeth. You're not getting the same effect with a mouthwash.
You're very knowledgeable about this, Robbie.
Yeah, I think I've told the story before, but when Robbie and I were children, I think I was in the first grade. I might have been in the second grade, and Robbie was in the third grade or the fourth grade. My mother, God rest her soul, instead of candy for Halloween, Robbie, do you remember this story?
What did she give out? I can't remember. I know
she gave out stickers.
Oh yeah,
of monsters with good teeth.
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
I remember that.
It would be like Frankenstein with good teeth, some sort of demon with good teeth. And of course, as a child, I'm like, this sucks. I even knew as a little kid, I'm like, people are going to egg our house. And I don't know if we got our house egged. I don't know if I would have known.
Is that worse than an apple?
God, yes, it's worse than an apple. It's an FU. It isn't just that it's bad food or bad candy. It's preachy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so is an apple.
You guys shouldn't be out here getting candy. You should be taking care of your teeth. Here's a reminder.
It's safer than an apple because an apple can get thrown at you. Where the sticker, they can't do any damage with it. They can just
get a paper cut maybe from the sticker.
Throw it in the trash. Was it like a big sticker? Or was it at least a quality sticker?
In my memory, it was like almost like the size of the bottom of a Slurpee cup. It was a big round sticker, and it had different monsters on it, and they had good teeth. Yep.
I mean, I can see you throw the sticker in, but you got to give the candy. I mean, that's...
Well, that's kind of hypocritical, I would think, if you were...
No, look, this is the time of year you can splurge. It's your special day, but remember, after this, clean teeth are important.
I mean, lady, why do you care about my teeth? Seriously, you know how much I care about somebody else's teeth? Not at all. You know whose teeth I care about? I care about my girlfriend's teeth.
Katie's, yeah.
Care about my children's teeth. I care about my own teeth. And that's it.
If you had a coworker that you had to look at every day and they had like all missing teeth in the front, you would care about that.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Scott Apple. I care about his teeth too.
We did. We were doing hypotheticals on the car ride down to Richmond, you know, as we're prone to do. And they inevitably end up being about you somehow, Joe. So I asked Tommy Sambazo how much money, so he just wakes up one day and for the rest of his life, he looks exactly like you, like an identical twin. And he goes, oh, so that means if Joe leaves the house, I can go over and bang Katie and she'll think it's Joe. I go, yes. He goes, $10. I said, okay.
Like, well, why would you need the 10 bucks at that
just
point?
To make it a transaction. Well, then he said, you bought me breakfast, so we'll call it even. I said, okay. And then we were debating, do you think that she would know that it was not you? Would you are there things that you're saying that only Joe Robinson would say versus what Tommy would say? Or is it everything is just the cliched sex talk?
No. I definitely think that there are things that I do on the regular that Tommy wouldn't do that she'd be like, wait a minute.
There's moves.
not necessarily moves, but things that you say, the, you know, thing, ways, the order of things. Yeah.
Is she very intuitive, Joe?
Yeah, yeah, she is. She would pick up on that. She would know.
Because in the movies, when the, you know, like Invasions of the Body Snatchers, they always know. The women, they always say, that's not my husband. That's not my child.
Yeah, I would know right away.
Okay. Would she be suspicious right away? Say, this is different. Maybe what's gotten into you? Or would she immediately know it's not you?
Well, what's Tommy going to try to do to her?
I'm assuming he's going to do the same awful things you're trying to do to her.
Yeah, I mean, but at this point, I mean, I don't, that's, you know, that's like reserved for like a hotel. I don't just do that at home every time. You know what I mean?
It's his first time with her, and he can get away with it because it's you. So he's going to go to a 10.
Yeah, I think she would know.
If he starts making references to Laugh Finder podcast, maybe.
Yes, dirty when talking. He makes his nerd references.
Yeah, he's dirty talking in Klingon. Maybe she'll know that that's not Joe. So we do the murder mystery, and it's the Newly Dead game one, the game show one. Shout out to Hank and Laura Reuter. They came out. It's Laura's birthday today. Happy birthday.
Is that the first one? That's the second time they've come out, right?
Yeah, they came to Bethesda to amp the show where we sold out, and then we're not allowed back. But there's a portion of the show, there's the game show, and I have to do everything because you're not there, so I hate it. But I have to find the couples, and I have to pull the woman aside, and I have to ask her four questions, and then you got to see if the husband can match or the boyfriend, whatever the case would be. So I ask a group, you know, who wants to do it. They all point to this couple's young, good looking black couple. And she seemed hesitant, but he was all gung ho. And I said, all right. So I pull her aside, and some of these questions are sexual oriented, including what would, if you had to describe your sex life in a movie title, what would it be? And she's like, well, we sort of have a long distance relationship, and I'm getting the vibe that they may have never had sex. So I'm like, okay. So we're just trying to think of something. I said, all right, just, you know, a long kiss goodnight. I don't know, just something, because we've got to move on. So I'm just hoping he's going to say something funny in the actual show so I can make fun of that, because clearly her answer is not going to be funny because she doesn't have an answer. So I ask him, he's thinking, you could tell that he's thinking because he knows they're not having sex. He goes, I don't know, is Dry a movie?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
What did the crowd laugh or like? Ooh.
They're like, oh, yeah, they're like that. But they also had a group. There were like 10 of them. So they were like, what? And so.
But I think he probably meant Dry, like, you know, like if somebody says, hey, I'm looking for weed, and they go, it's Dry, it means right. There isn't weed. Right.
A dry.
Not that her vagina is dry.
No, but he shouldn't have chosen a word.
Oh, no, that was a horrible. Yes, that's, I guess, smelly. What's the worst thing you can say? Right.
Loose.
A fish called Wanda. I mean, that's the worst, right?
Is there disease outbreak? Yeah. So, of course, I made a joke. Well, now you just broke up. But, yeah, it was like, dude, I mean, you could just make up them. It doesn't matter. Just say a movie that's not going to get you in trouble. It's not a real game show. You don't have to get it right. Of course, obviously, that answer wouldn't have been right. So
you know,
other than that,
about that, because Robbie and I used to watch the game show, The Dating Game.
Yeah.
Which is, oh no, I'm sorry. Love Connection.
Chuck Woolery.
It's one of the 10 greatest game shows in history. Robbie, would you agree with that?
The concept was one of the very, very, very best.
Okay. First stop. Is that saying something? Are there even 10 great game shows? You act like that's saying something.
Oh no, there are. Match Game, Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. They're all great.
Okay, I don't think you get to 10.
All right, well, that's a whole different conversation. Let me just keep my train.
I think it's a good conversation.
All right, well, let me finish this thought, and then we can go to the 10 game shows. Okay. What was I? Now I've lost my train of thought.
Dating, Chuck Woolery.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always thought if I was ever on that show, even if I had a miserable time, I wouldn't shit on the other person. I always thought that was such a horrible thing for people to do. If I went on a date with somebody and I didn't like them, I'd be like, well, she was a whore and she was ugly and she's, I would never do that. And so I sit there and think about that. Like, well, that guy, no matter what, if he was smart, even if they weren't having sex, he would have been complimentary. You want to do that just so you don't look like a dick. So even if that guy didn't intend on saying that she had a dry vaginal lips, as Gramps would say.
Right.
Then... But still, he did mean to say something almost insulting, right? it wasn't, I guess maybe he was trying to deprecate and just really missed the mark. But I would have said something like anticipation or so. What I would have said something, even if we weren't having sex, that would be complimentary. So you just don't look like a dick.
No, he clearly choked. It didn't. I mean, look, I made
sure she looked like she had a dry vagina when you looked at her.
She did not look like she had it. She looked like she had a welcoming vagina. She looked like I think they met in college. I think she's a good girl and he's not a good guy, meaning he wants to have sex. I think she's a little more conservative, maybe more religious.
Right.
And she's not one that she's going to just give it up that easily. But he does seem to like her. But I'm guessing just from that is an issue in their relationship.
The what, vaginal dryness?
Yep, that's what I'm talking about. Let's take a break. We'll count down the top 5,000 game shows of all time. Rob and Joe should be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, October 22nd at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So I Googled this, TVGuide.com, the 60 greatest game shows of all time. And as the top 10, then it has just the rest in alphabetical order. Jeopardy.
Yes.
This is 1 to 10. Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
Family Feud.
God, Family Feud. Yes. That's a great show.
Match Game.
Match Game is my number one. I bet it's my brother's number one, too.
I have not seen the new version.
Well, the new version I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the older version.
That. Yeah. Yes. I think Lethal Weapon's my favorite. The TV show, not the movie. Price is Right.
Yes.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Hollywood Squares.
Yes. Hollywood Squares. Keep going.
Password.
Okay.
What's My Line? I don't know that.
That's with Groucho Marx. That is a great one.
And the Newlywed Game.
God, yes.
I used to love Truth or Consequences, which was also with Bob Barker back in the day.
What about Make Me Laugh? Make Me Laugh was such a great show. Now, I don't know if I would be able to enjoy it the way I did when I was a kid, but are you familiar with Make Me Laugh, Rob?
No, but I will concede there's probably 10 great game shows. But there's not 20, so being in the top 10 isn't that impressive.
Make Me Laugh was a game show where somebody would sit in a chair and comedians would come out and try to make them laugh.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
Man, it was so great. Now, by far, I mean, it wasn't even close. Robbie, don't answer if you remember until Rob gets a guess. Who was by far the best at making people laugh on the show Make Me Laugh? Do you remember who it was, Robbie?
Of course.
And he was, it wasn't close. I'll give you a hint. It was a guy. You know,
Howie Mandel.
Everybody knows this is pre Howie Mandel. This is back in it was probably maybe right around 80. Is that right, Robbie, you think?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. 80, 81.
I'll give you a hint. It's a man. He's balding. He's bald, not full bald, like a shaved head, but like a
he's
bald.
Still alive?
He is alive, right, Robbie?
He is.
I got some big hints. I can't just give it away. He wore suspenders.
Gallagher?
Yep, Gallagher. And dude, it wasn't close. Gallagher would get out there and start smashing watermelons, and they would just give it up.
Yep, 1979, 1980, you're dead on, Joe.
Thanks. And I loved it. Loved it. It was such a great show.
The other regular on there was Murray Langston, the unknown comic.
Well, you know who else was on there? That bald guy, I can't remember his name, but he had a TV show where he had like 8 kids. Do you remember that, Robbie?
Eight is enough.
And no, it wasn't Eight is Enough. And then there was another
The Commish.
It wasn't the commish. And then it was another guy who Waylon and the dummy. What's that guy's name? Lester. Waylon and Lester. Was that what they were called, Robbie? Where the black guy with the black dummy?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think that. No. Waylon was with the madam. It was something.
Okay. Well, then whatever. Okay, somebody and Lester.
You are skewing so old in this episode.
Regulars included Bob Saget, Howie Mandel, nice. Vic Dunlop, Gallagher, hey. Gary Mule Deer, Yakov Smirnoff.
Oh, I remember Yakov Smirnoff, yeah.
Bruce Baum and Gary Shandling.
I don't remember Gary Shandling. Yeah, are you combining the two? I don't remember Howie Mandel. I just don't.
I don't think that show would work today because the silly comedy isn't really the thing.
I don't know. I feel like if you said, all right, who would be best at that? I'm telling you right now, if you got Zach Galifianakis,
yes,
and you got Will Ferrell,
oh yeah,
and you had like Jim Gaffigan or Steve Carell. See, there's guys like Bill Burr, like some of the greatest comics, Chris Rock. They wouldn't be good at that.
No.
But guys like Zach Galifianakis.
Brian Regan could still do that.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But
what
I do
about
think
a show, that, yeah. Make Me Cry, Make You Cry?
I think that'd be easier, right?
Wouldn't that be a better? I would like that show.
Yeah, where you start asking them about relatives who may have passed.
Robbie would love that show. Joe couldn't watch it at all.
No. I can watch Gallagher try to make people laugh. By the way, that give me some credit for progressing. I used to think Gallagher was the funniest guy alive.
If they did that show with people you know, who would be the number one person that could get you?
Let me think. That I know personally, probably a guy like Rory or Justin, I guess. Rory Scovel or Justin Schlegel.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. I mean, honestly, like Tommy, I believe is a great stand up, but I think Eric would do better in this scenario.
Well, he'd start taking his clothes off.
Yeah, I think Eric would be better at this, at just me sitting in a chair and you're trying to make me laugh.
Let's speak about Eric Woodworth. So last week at the I guess 10 days ago now, the murder mystery, the Arlington, the Sing for Your Life. Did you see the thing that's growing on his face, Joe?
Yes, I of okay. course. How do I see it?
Okay,
yes,
so I see it. He has this mole that's on the left or right side of his nose, right next to the nostril. And seeing the state that it was in 10 days ago, would you have gone to the doctor?
God, yes. Matter of fact, he does a video on Facebook of him playing hide and go seek with his daughter where he's close up and I can't even listen to it. I'm like, dude,
yeah,
you got to get that thing hacked off your face. I wouldn't even go to set up a doctor's appointment. I'd go to the emergency room and I'd say, I can't walk around like this.
How many people?
It's equivalent of you were missing your front tooth.
Yeah. How like many people in the world
will be soon for brushing his teeth with scope? Anyway, go ahead.
How many people in the world that have health insurance and that have, you know, he's not a rich man by any means, but he has money. So money is not an issue or health insurance is not an issue. Would not go to the doctor for what that thing that's on his face.
Does he even know what it is?
Well, just I don't. But what percentage would not go to the doctor?
I don't know. Zero. I mean,
you know what he did? He talked to a guy at work who said, tie dental floss around it and you'll just cinch it off. So come Murder Mystery Sunday, he rolls into Richmond. It's gotten bigger. He's putting makeup on it. It's accentuated now. It is a monster is on his face. He has yet to go to the doctor.
So can I tell a story real quick? And I don't know if I've ever told this on the air. I'm pretty sure that I have when I did the same thing to myself. I had a mole that was growing in between. There's a part of your body, and I don't know what the clinical term is, but everyone knows it as the taint. And I had something growing on that part of my body. This is about 10 years ago. You knew me, Rob. This wasn't, you know, this wasn't like when I was a child. Yeah.
Girl, that makes the story better for me. Then.
So it was, dude, this story gets so bad. It gets so bad. So it's growing on there. And I'm like, all right, well, I didn't like it there. So I'm going to tie, and I tied dental floss. And that was a mistake because dental floss is slippery. I needed to tie a string around it, not dental floss. So this thing started getting infected. I don't know what was going on with it, right? So I'm like, what am I going to do? I have to perform surgery on myself.
Eesh.
And I took the only thing that I thought I could use, and I poured scalding water over dog's toenail clippers. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with these, but imagine the letter U and then like a line at the, and it's a horseshoe. We'll use that horseshoe and a line at the bottom, and dog's toenail clippers just kind of guillotine. That's how they do it, right? And I went into the bathroom and I threaded that dental floss through that thing.
Did your wife know this was going on?
No one knew.
Oh, wow. Were you alone?
I was alone and I threaded it through there. Chink, chink, and I just hit it. This thing, of course, I bled like, you know, I'm lucky I'm to be alive. But I, of course, I you know, apply direct pressure. But the worst thing is that this thing came off and was laying on the ground with dental floss tied around. It looked like a grape Skittle. That's the size of it. And it was laying on the ground. Now, if I had to do it over again, there was no cell phones that I could have taken a camera. You know, it didn't exist back then.
Right.
Not to the degree it does now, or there'd be a picture of that thing somewhere that I would have saved, but I never did. And I took that thing and I flushed it down the toilet, and then and guess what? Smooth as a baby's butt. Now, it worked.
How long did it? Was there pain down there? Was there discomfort?
There wasn't a lot of pain, but I couldn't. The bleeding was bad. So I had to like put direct pressure on it. I had to keep, you know, bandages on it. Yeah, because I mean, I had cut myself in a very, very vascular sensitive area.
Now, so I assume the only reason you didn't go to the doctor is because the place it was on your body.
Well, I didn't go to the doctor because I thought that I could handle it on my own. But you're right. Obviously, if it was on my face, I'd have been like, this needs to be taken care of immediately. So
at one point in the murder mystery, Tommy is the detective and he's interviewing Eric. He breaks character just to mention it. So just to point it out. And the crowd, I think they turned on Tommy because they're like, dude, this guy's obviously special. Let him, don't make fun of him. Why else would you have that on your face?
Is there dental floss tied around it?
Yes.
Right now, there's dental floss hanging off of it.
It's tied tightly, so it's putting pressure. It's making it look worse. It's 10 times worse looking than it was 10 days ago.
Mickey Cachella just texted me. He said, put scope on it. It'll go right away.
but other than that, great show. So the debates tonight, how many debates are they going
to
have?
Can I stop real quick before you talk about the debates, just real quick? Yeah,
sure.
Is he going to go to the doctor?
We kept telling him to, but who knows? I don't know how his wife isn't saying, look, babe, this is enough.
Yes, seriously. I mean, you can't just keep looking at that, right?
No,
you get used to it. Meaning, she saw it when it was just a little dot.
Yeah,
it just kept inflating.
We were debating how much money it would take to eat it.
Oh God, it would be a lot to eat it.
And you couldn't just swallow it, like have it in some water. Just you had to chew it.
If I could just swallow it, I'd do it for $2,000. If I could just swallow it all.
I wouldn't do it for $2,000. I feel like it just the idea of it is haunting me. I think I would get sick. Yeah. You had to do it without throwing up. I couldn't do it.
Well, if I had to chew it, I mean, it's a lot more. Do I have to keep it down? Because here's what I can't have happen. I can't have somebody say, all right, you're going to get 20 grand for chewing this thing and eating it. And then, but you have to keep it down. And then I throw up and I don't get the 20 grand. That can't happen. That's a nightmare. I can't risk that.
All right, what if you get 20 grand if you keep it down, and if you throw up, you get 1 grand?
No, I'm still not risking it.
I don't know.
Because I'm not chewing on it for 1 grand.
You threw up for 1 grand.
I'm not chewing on it for $1,000, though. That's the thing. I'm not chewing it. If somebody says you chew this for $1,000 and spit it out, I wouldn't do it. So I can't risk that.
God, it's disgusting. Come on, Eric.
How much to chew on my grape Skittle? It's got to be more, right? Because it would burst. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's purple. It would burst, no doubt. Mine was filled with blood.
This is one of our more disgusting shows ever.
What would you rather it be filled with, blood or pus? It's got to be blood, right?
Yeah, blood. I prefer blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've tasted blood before. It doesn't taste that bad.
Of course. You've all had a cut and you've sort of sucked the blood out.
But I don't think there's anything more disgusting than pus. It's number one.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
How did you stop the bleeding on your taint, Jeff?
Well, the first thing I did was I just applied direct pressure. I ruined a couple washcloths, right? And then eventually, once I got it under control, I then literally put a Band-Aid on it. It's an area very conducive to a Band-Aid. Threw it right on there, and it sat there. Now, that little white square got very red. I had to change it a few times. But, yeah, I mean, eventually, it was just good to go.
See, I had the same thing happen to me, not in the same place. It's not as funny a place, but it was on my back. It was a place I couldn't reach. So I had to tie an old towel and a belt around myself to stop the bleeding because I couldn't put any pressure on it. And I was
hold on. How'd you get it off, Robbie?
I think I just reached back there and yanked it off.
Oh my gosh, man! Jeez,
that was how big it was.
Joe, did you throw away the washcloths or just wash them?
I'm sure they were just washed.
So later on, someone was washing their face with that.
That's right.
One of your children.
Here you go, boys.
Okay. So speaking of pus and taints, the debate is tonight. Good segue, Rob. Are they doing 3-2? I don't even know. How many are they doing? Anybody know?
I mean, by the way, who gives a shit?
Well, I mean,
I like these. I hate them.
This is going to be entertaining. Yes.
Well, only if Trump does, you know, only if he, but I think he's dialed it back. And if he starts calling her an ugly crag and all that stuff, yes, that's going to be great. But he's not, I don't think you're going to get that from him, right? The other thing I hate is at the end when they tell you who won. Really? Whoever won is who you thought sides most closely with your beliefs. That's always who wins. How often are you like, wow, that other guy really wiped the floor with the guy I agree with? It just never happens.
Well, it's now, set up for Trump to do well because the expectations are so low. All he has to do is not call her the C word. People say, well, he was better than I thought.
Really? Because I feel like he would be good at this. Right? Because really, this is such a superficial. Look, how many times are you going, well, you know, they didn't talk about the issues. I keep hearing that. They always talk about the issues. I don't really know what he stands for. We always know what they stand for. This is all, it's all right. Rhetoric. No, what I really want is for, it's basically, it's like, what do you call it? A rank out. Is that what it's called? A rank out? That's what it is. Because we're so fucking superficial. We are so superficial. We're going to talk about who looked tired and who looked ugly and who drooled and who had a runny nose. I mean, that's the shit we care about. That's all that we care about. But what we do is we try to find the faults in the person that we don't agree with. Oh, yeah, he had ugly shoes on, you know, or he stammered or whatever. Which, by the way, I want to let you know something. Being a great public speaker shouldn't be important at all. It shouldn't.
Well, I know, because a part of your duty, not duty, but to be able to lead and inspire, a lot of that comes from speaking.
Some of the most understated people in the world are good leaders. What about a guy like Bill Gates? Is he a great statesman?
Well, he doesn't have to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, these guys are politicians.
I'm saying if I'm making my perfect politician, my perfect president, he's going to be a great speaker.
Okay. Yes, I agree with you. That is true.
Or she. Yeah.
But my point is that we put so much emphasis. I remember when people were explaining that Obama was a great public speaker. He's not, because what happens is everything sounded so deliberate. And I remember people saying, George Bush was such a horrible public speaker. He wasn't. He was a great public speaker. What you want to be as a public speaker is somebody who's believable, not the Martin Luther Kings of the world. If they were around today, they would just sound like every black preacher who's knocking them off. Does that make any sense? I mean, now right. It has changed. What makes a great public speaker has changed. You even see it in comedy. That's why people aren't doing one-liners anymore, and they're doing these more, what do you call, bits, I guess, because things have evolved. You want believability. You don't want to be acted to. That makes sense.
Bill Clinton is a great speaker.
He was.
Joe Biden's a very good public speaker.
Yes. And it's funny because they shit on Joe Biden all the time on the morning show on 98 Rock, but he is a great public speaker. And the reason he's a great public speaker is because you feel sincerity because he fucks up sometimes, right?
Yes. He calls somebody every man buddy. Vibe about.
Yes. Yes. And again, I do think Clinton was a great public speaker. I don't think Obama is a very good public speaker, although he's getting a lot better. He's getting a lot better.
Yeah.
I thought that what's the guy? Bob Dole was horrible. I did. I thought he was awful. Yeah.
I think Michelle Obama is a very good public speaker.
She's awesome. She's very good. She's really good. But again, who cares? I care about content. I don't care about how you package it.
Yeah, right? But you're right. But the reality is people want to like something. And if you hear them speak and they sound and they're funny and charming and they come off smart, you want to like that because well, no, that makes you seem good. Yeah.
I agree
so
with that.
You want that. So you're looking for that.
Would you consider Adolf Hitler a great public speaker?
Amazing.
He was. He got people to believe in one of the craziest concepts in the history of the world. You see what I'm saying? So, again, I don't necessarily know how important it is that you're a great public speaker. I think what's more important is what you have to say.
Yeah.
Right.
It's important to get elected. I mean, it's stupid that they're campaigning. They're going to all these places and giving these speeches. Why? It's not so people can hear what they think on some policy. It's so they can get a vibe for who they are. And who they are isn't necessarily who they are by what they say on stage. But that's what it is. You're going to get to see them interacting with each other. And that's going to be good theater.
There's also a VP debate scheduled. God, can you imagine anything more boring? Is anybody going to watch that?
Well, this will be the highest rated presidential debate, and that'll be the lowest rated VP debate.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to fill in some blanks from a few weeks ago. Rob and Joe should be right back. What's up, everybody? We need your help. We need your support.
We haven't begged for support in a while.
And we're not too proud to beg. We're really good at begging. All we really want you to do is just, if you listen on iTunes, give us 5 stars, write us a review. Same deal with Stitcher, same deal, Podbean, podcast app. Just share the show, download it, tell people about it, word of mouth. That's all we're asking.
No, that's not all we're asking. Also, come to all the shows that we have, the murder mysteries, the stand-up. Donate money on our website.
Yes.
If you have to see me on the street, be cordial. Offer to buy me a drink.
So all we're asking is to go on every single platform that the show's available on. Give us 5 stars. Write us a review. Tell every friend you know to listen to the show. Give us lots of money at robmerritt@gmail.com on PayPal. Come to every single murder mystery show. Come to every single comedy show. See the pie plate closer. Give a standing ovation. And then tell your friends to do exactly the same thing.
That's all we need.
That's it.
The Rob and Joe Show.
We meant to mention this last week, but at the murder mystery in Arlington, the singing one, Sing for Your Life, the Draft House, where we first saw the mole. There's a portion of the show where we've talked about it, obviously, with Robbie singing, that whole portion of the show where the audience can sing, the whole Robbie drama. And we usually get one person who's really good. This week, this time, we had 4 people, and a girl said she wants to sing Janis Joplin, what was it? Peace of My Heart? Was that the song?
Yeah, and can I just say, when the girl that was with her is also a girl who sang, and what song did she sing, the other girl? I'm trying to remember.
She sang Macklemore Thrift Shop, a rap song.
She sang Thrift Shop. But they showed up early to buy tickets because I guess the sales online had closed.
They
came. And they said, hey, we want to buy tickets. And they go, well, they're not for sale until this time. And she goes, oh, we want to make sure we get tickets. We love karaoke. And I had assumed that when they love karaoke, that they were probably good at karaoke.
Yes.
And especially when I heard the song that she had chosen, I was like, oh, man, this girl's going to be incredible. Not Thrift Shop, but Janis Joplin, Peace of My Heart, which is, you know, that's a singer's song.
Yes, it's a big song. It's a song that's, I mean, Janis Joplin is a world-class, powerful, soulful singer. So she sort of has a Janis Joplin vibe about her, like would have been a hippie back in the 60s, sort of skinny. The song is starting and she's kind of jumping up and down. She's giving a lot of the performance, but her singing was horrible. But her confidence was a 10. It was a weird mesh there.
Well, Robbie has always told me that's what karaoke is. Everybody supports everybody. So I think when they came, they were coming to do karaoke, and that's what happens there. Robbie, am I representing that correctly?
In a proper karaoke bar, yes, you get a lot of support from everybody. Everybody's cheering on each person who comes on stage.
So that's why I think that they didn't have, and I don't know if they were not aware of themselves. Maybe they knew they were horrible. But when
they had a great time.
Yes, and I loved that. And I cheered the most for her. I genuinely thought her friend who sang Thrift Shop was better than the guy who won, who's our friend Petey Steele.
Right.
But that's just, when you go last, you have a great advantage. But what I really like in those instances, that's the first time we had nobody that was good. Everybody sucked. And we had never had that before. But having somebody who's really good, that's great. But what I really love is what I call the Susan Boyle syndrome. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, I remember the first time they started posting Susan Boyle on, you know, her little videos on Facebook and YouTube and all that stuff, where people were like, oh my God, can you believe somebody so hideous can sing? That's the idea, right?
Right.
Everybody's shocked because somebody's ugly and can sing, which is the dumbest thing. The only reason that everybody we know that can sing is hot is because that's who's marketable, right?
Of course.
You understand that if, you know, Susan Boyle is an outlier. People that look like Susan Boyle, nobody gives a shit about them. That's the point. But what
you don't
I really
usually see a super hot backup singer.
Yeah, good point.
Because if she was really that good a singer and that hot, she'd be up front.
Right. What I really love is, and our friend Dustin is the perfect example, because Dustin probably weighs about 400 pounds. He's about 6'5". He's a gigantic man, but he can really sing. And that people love that kind of stuff. So I'm really, that's what I'm most excited about when we can find somebody who looks like, you know, they can't sing, which is a dumb thing to do, say anyway, but that's just the way this world works. Superficial.
That's only happened to me one time at karaoke, and where I saw a guy, and I probably told the story before. He was as wide as he was tall, drunk off his ass. I mean, he literally tripped. Face planted as he was going onto the stage, and I'm just shaking my head, going, "This is going to be a disaster." He gets up there and he sings some old R&B song. He has a voice of an angel.
Well, that's like that movie, and I can't remember The Commitments. That's it, The Commitments. Remember the guy who came in for he was some ginger that was a big fat guy or whatever, and
right? Yeah,
sing his ass off.
Which brings us to November 13th. We're back at Magoobies. Back at the scene of the crime, Robbie, where we did Sing for Your Life the first time. We're bringing it back by popular demand. It's a Sunday. Will you show up and will you sing? God.
You won't show up or you won't sing?
The people want it, Robbie. You know we'll get more sales just on you committing to sing.
I don't want to come to Magoobies on Sunday.
You said you wanted to sing in front of your friends.
Yeah.
At Magoobies.
I arranged that weeks in advance, getting my friends there and having that all planned out. I'm not going through that again for a Sunday night show.
Hold on, going through it again. We just told you you could sing.
It's not important to me anymore.
Well, it's important to us. We want you to sing.
Let me ask you this. Let's say, for example, you did come. You said okay. And then we didn't let you sing again. Would the show end?
I'd be fucking pissed.
What if we put up three people and they were horrible?
And they all sang The Bad Touch.
Yes.
And we said, we already have people singing your song, Robbie, so you can't sing.
And they are all doughy white guys.
And they all had Asian girlfriends.
And they all had NRA hats on.
And they're all wearing shirts that they made themselves.
Come on, Robbie. You got to sing now. The whole build up to this.
I don't want to go to Magoobies and sing. It's a Sunday night. I don't want to drive all the way to fucking Timonium.
Okay, you think we don't do things that we don't want to do for the better of the men of the show?
You guys had your chance.
Of course. Why am I not surprised? What if Captain Cupcake shows up?
Fuck Captain Cupcake. Hold on. You know, I'm pissed at Captain Cupcake, okay?
Can we tell people who that is in case you're new?
So Captain Cupcake is a P1. I think he still listens regularly, but he doesn't go by the name Captain Cupcake.
He's in chat right now. I'm pretty sure I know which one he is.
And he always tries to take a shot.
He used to tweet regularly, too.
Yes.
Stopped.
But he loves the show, but he takes shots at it. Now, I don't like shitting on our own brand. I've said that a million times. Whenever we're going to do something, let's not shit. Matter of fact, the 98 Rock Morning Show used to do these promos, and in the promos, they would kind of deprecate themselves. Not them, but it was a liner like 98 Rock, the worst show on the air, or something like that. You know, they would, and then they'd be like, hey, let's stop doing that. Right? That's our brand. You know, that gets ingrained. So, of course, I worked with Mickey Cachala on the post game because Rob wasn't available. And the truth is that Rob and I, our chemistry, it's the best chemistry I have with anybody. We've worked together for 5 years. We talk to every day outside of you know, whatever we broadcast. I mean, it's just, and we also have the same interests. We really play off each other well. It is the best chemistry I have. Captain Cupcake hears the show with Mickey and goes, finally, some good chemistry. Some dick thing to say, right?
Just first somehow, in like a year. Yeah.
Just taking a shot at Rob, which I'm like, you know what?
And he tweets it at 98 Rock.
Yes, he tweets it so 98 Rock can see it. That's another thing I don't like. You know, obviously, that's a brand we want 98 Rock to like. And so we don't want them thinking that there are fans out there that hear that and say, oh, thank God, it's not the chemistry of Rob and Joe. It's the chemistry. You know what I mean? I hated it. Hey, Robbie liked it. I mean, I see that and I'm like, Robbie, what are you fucking doing? You know, I've said this a million times. I hate shitting on our own brand.
I seriously don't think 98 Rock even realized that it was just a shot at Rob. I don't think they even realize.
Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But I know what it was. I know what it was.
No, they probably didn't. But that's, you say taking a shot at us. He pretty much just takes shots at me.
It was definitely just a shot at Rob.
Right.
Because that's what Cup to Cupcake does.
Right, of course. And it's funny that out of nowhere, it's like he's been searching for something bad to say about me. And then this is the closest he could
come. He's been waiting and finally.
Right. It's just to the desperation. Right. As if this isn't anything bad, by the way. So. Like me making money at the murder mystery is somehow worse than me not making anything at the postgame show. So it doesn't even make sense that it's a shot at me.
Yeah.
But no, Joe, you were fired up about it. And I
didn't like it. I didn't like it. And I didn't like Robbie liking it. I didn't like either one.
Well, Robbie,
I don't like having fun at the brand's expense. How many times have you heard me say that?
Yeah, you're right. Well, Robbie,
it's bad business.
What do you think about that?
There's only very, very inside people would get what was going on there. I think most people just thought the person was complimenting the show.
Yeah.
Seriously.
All right. We got to wrap it up. Cause I do want to talk about this. We had, two more huge deaths this past weekend, Jose Fernandez, star pitcher for the Florida Marlins, and then the legendary, Arnold Palmer, a true household name, if not for the golf, the commercials, for the drink. But a legend. And I think it's pretty safe to say that the 2016 Mount Rushmore of deaths to this point is, in no particular order, David Bowie, Prince, Muhammad Ali, and now Arnold Palmer. It's a pretty strong group. So do you think in the final 3 months here of the year that there is someone will die that will knock one of those four off? And who could that possibly be?
It'd have to be a pretty big... The thing is, here's the deal. I believe that if Tiger Woods died, that would have been bigger than Arnold Palmer. And the reason is, of course, is because Arnold Palmer was an 87-year-old man, and Tiger Woods was more of a rock star than, obviously, Arnold Palmer. So if he were to die, he would bump off Arnold Palmer.
Tiger Woods is second to Michael Jordan, I think, in terms of rock star athletes in the last 30 years.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I think LeBron James too, Kobe, but yeah, I mean, Michael Jordan won.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I'm talking about the United States. I'm sure there's some soccer player somewhere, but
Beckham, David Beckham.
Messi.
Yeah, you're right. Messi would be number one.
Yeah.
In the world, actually.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
In terms of athletes, but yeah, here, they'd be like, oh, that guy died, that's crazy.
You know, I was saying in the pre-show, if Cosby didn't have all this, this had come out and now he's, you know, the worst person in the world. He would have been someone that could, he's of the age where he could be near his death and he would be on the Mount Rushmore pre-scandal.
I mean, the biggest comedian death, it would be Steve Martin, wouldn't you think? Would Eddie Murphy, Steve? I still think it would be Steve Martin.
Yeah, I mean, Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Steve Martin or Jerry Seinfeld? For some reason, I still think Steve Martin because he was a movie star. But am I wrong? Because Jerry Seinfeld had the greatest television show in history?
You can make a case for either. I think Seinfeld, just because he has the TV show, it's his own name, and it's...
Maybe it's, because
you have,
of what...
You have one thing you instantly think of him about, where Steve Martin, you could... There's 20 things you could think of.
Yeah, but I mean, Steve Martin, but here, they both were important to me personally, but I think Steve Martin probably shaped me more or was a bigger part of my upbringing. I don't know. It just, there's a lot more nostalgia with Steve Martin. What do you think, Robbie?
If you're choosing between Eddie Murphy and Steve Martin.
No, we stopped talking about Eddie Murphy. It's Jerry Seinfeld or Steve Martin.
Yeah, you're going to have to go with Jerry.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised you said that.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, I know for me, it's like the argument we were having before the show. For me, it's going to be Steve Martin. But right now, Jerry Seinfeld would just seems like he would be more relevant.
Yeah, I can see that. What about, would Springsteen bump off somebody?
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, Paul McCartney, yeah.
Mick Jagger.
Yep. I mean, I don't think Billy Joel or Elton John, would they bump off David Bowie?
Oh, man. Elton John might bump off David Bowie.
I mean, obviously, you know, I think actually, Oprah would bump somebody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oprah, the president. Marcus actually has a list. Yeah, Marcus, you there? List?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I found a website that it collects rankings, so people from around the world have put together lists of who they think are going to be the top, you know, 100 people that are going to possibly kick off. And this website has put them all together to determine that top list. Now, from a youth standpoint, coming in at number 16, Justin Bieber. So he is the highest on the list for the most probable to die this year.
What do you mean? He's the youngest on the list?
Yeah, he's the youngest at the right. High. Yeah, at the
highest. Give us a top 10. Go 10 up.
All right. Number 10, Olivia de Havilland.
What?
Who?
What?
She's an old actress. I mean, if I were to really go through the top 10, most of it has to do with age. Like, you know.
Wait a minute, are these the most likely to die?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's different.
This is based like on
Olivia de Havilland. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Well, this Mount Rushmore. Sorry, Muhammad Ali. Olivia de Havilland has bumped you off. The greatest of all time.
Well, it's interesting that at number 7, Donald Trump is on the list.
Oh, yeah. No, Donald Trump would definitely be bump somebody off.
Yeah. What about Betty White? She got to be, if we're talking about old people.
Yeah, yeah. She's going to be up there, right?
Bill Clinton. I mean,
yeah, no, Bill Clinton. Yeah. What about George Bush, the father? The senior?
Well, he's 91.
Yeah. I mean, a president's always huge, but I don't know. He's not really as beloved. Like Jimmy Carter, I mean, is.
No.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, but Ozzy Osbourne's not going to bump off those other guys. I mean, he's certainly not going to. Not going to bump off Olivia de Havilland. can you name another, other than Gone with the Wind, can you name a second Olivia de Havilland movie? She's probably the biggest movie star of her day. But I don't know anything else she was in. Robbie, you do, and you're a big movie. Yeah. I mean, you're a big movie buff.
Off the top of my head, A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Was she?
Dodge I don't know. City.
Well, for me, the biggest one would be one David Koechner. My best friend.
Adventures of Robin Hood.
All right.
We've had enough. Let's get out of here on this. I just want to say awesome times with David Koechner, the Arlington Draft House. Todd Moore came out, Todd and his girlfriend. And I guess Todd thinks I'm doing better financially than I am because he says, you know, hey, I hired a PR firm to plug my new app. And I think you should do it for your Heart of the City thing that's coming out. It's $2,500 a month. I think it could help you. So I will pass on that. But
did you say, well, that then what else? How am I going to eat?
Exactly. So how'd the TV thing work out for you? I lost $7,000.
So real quick, I want to give an update on King Larry.
Yes.
Now, as you know, last week I admitted that I had to call a guy that I spoke to from playing that I met and playing a video game. So he wouldn't kick me out of our alliance. The movie, the game is Game of War. It's a good. I should get some money from Game of War for advertising. Their current spokesperson is Kate Upton.
Yeah, you're the next in line.
Now me, right? But I think this guy is so kind of senile that he didn't even he never said a word. He never said a word to me. It's like it never happened.
I bet he'd say something if Olivia de Havilland died.
Oh, I guarantee he knows who Olivia de Havilland is. Also, real quick, Robbie, I guess he's just trying to frustrate me. Here's Robbie's Mount Rushmore people that died this year.
Oh, God.
Wilder, Glenn Frey, Gary Shandling, and Gary Marshall. That's his top four, ahead of Ali.
There's been a huge, there's been some heavyweights. Last thing, though, Todd and Koechner end up Ubering home together, well, to their respective hotel and house. And Todd texted me the next day and said they had a nice, fun ride home, and that Koechner asked the Uber driver for rope, gasoline, a shovel, chloroform, and to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Did the guy get it?
I don't think he did. That's that, everybody. What do we have coming up? Anything we need to talk about here?
Shows?
We're going to be at the Arlington... No, not the Bethesda Hyatt. I was going to say the Harley Draft House, but I meant Bethesda Hyatt, but that's not even right. The new room in Bethesda. What's it called? Positano?
When is that?
October 15th.
Yeah, because I never committed to that.
What, do you got something else to do?
Well, I'm not doing stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I will, but I mean, I haven't been on stage in, you know, since March.
Well, you'll be fine.
All right, I'll be there.
You need to practice asking that guy what he does for a living. Okay.
I need to practice the numbers again for the pie plate closer.
Yes. We'll see you next week.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.